Thank you so much for coming today and being a part of this experience. Are you a worshiper of Christ? I hope you're not just a spectator, one who comes and, hey, that music was fine and our instrumentalists are so capable. No, you have to choose as an act of your will to go from the horizontal to the vertical. So as they play and as they sing, may your heart be lifted up in true worship of God. It's not about them. It's not about the preacher. It's not about these buildings. It's about Him. And so become and develop that skill as a worshiper of God. The Lord inhabits. He loves the praises of His people. So that's your assignment, is to become one who praises Him on a regular basis. Last week we looked at a sin that is rather devastating. It is, however, quite slippery. It's quite difficult to observe and find sometimes, and it is a sin of pride. It's one that we need to slay on a regular basis, put to death on a regular basis. So many of the times what we say, what we think, our opinions about things, our view of politics, we have such a need to express our great knowledge about this or that or the other. And sometimes our knowledge can cause us to be puffed up. That's the sin of pride, and we need to guard against that. The Bible says we do not yet know what we think we know, and it's true. Our mental capacity is so limited, so let's be humble about what we think we know. Sometimes we think we're a little bit holier than other people, our spiritual dimension. Well, you know, I just can't believe they're doing that and all that. But for the grace of God, we'd be there ourselves. We need to keep a humble, not a prideful position with regard to how we view ourselves. And on we could go about pride and how it's so subtle and it creeps in so many different ways. We need to keep putting that to death in our lives in order to walk in humility in this world. There's another sin that's in the respectable category. And by respectable, they're not really respectable. There's no sin that's respectable. But we have sometimes in church life determined what the medium is of a certain kind of behavior. What kind of movie can you go to see at the local theater? Well, you can go see a PG. Well, we're Baptists. We can see PG-13, can't we? Well, what about the next level? Where do we draw the line? Well, it doesn't matter where we draw the line. Where does God draw the line? Where does the Spirit of God, what do you put on Facebook? Do you run everything by the Holy Spirit's leadership before you write that stuff? Everything that you do on social media or wherever it may be needs to be run through the Scriptures and run through the Holy Spirit and how He speaks to your heart before you put that stuff out there. Everything we do needs to be measured in ways that's based upon God and His Word, not so much upon what we as Baptists or we at Leesville or wherever we are as Americans have determined is okay or not okay. We are not the standard. God is the standard. And so we need to be careful about those so-called respectable sins because they're not respectable at all. What we're looking at today is another very subtle aspect of our lives, and it's called ungodliness. Ungodliness. Now, we often think of, as when I grew up, I don't know about you, if something is ungodly, well, that's just the most wicked thing in the universe. You know, whatever it is that person is doing, if it's ungodly, then that's just got to be the most horrific. But that's not it at all. And we'll see in just a moment in the Scriptures that God separates unrighteousness from ungodliness. Ungodliness is somewhat like being unpopular. That means you're just not popular. Or it means like unacceptable. That means it's not acceptable. Unqualified. Unfit. We go on and on about what it means to be ungodly. But basically, the definition of ungodliness is this. And see if it fits your life as it does mine at times. Because there are days that I wake up and I live doing what I've got planned to do with no thought of my relationship with God. And I believe with all my heart that that is ungodliness. Ungodliness is living one's everyday life with little or no thought of God, or of God's will, or of God's glory, or of one's dependence upon God. Any questions? We can wake up every day. Listen, I have a deep commitment that we can do church without God. I know how to do this stuff. I've done this before. Do you know how to come and sit in a pew? Yeah. Do you need the leadership of God and the power of God to come to get dressed in the morning? No. You can do, you know how to do that. Deacons, do you know how to be a deacon? I think you do, at least in a Baptist church. You know how to do that. We don't need him, do we? We know how to do this. We know how to write a check and give money, and we know the drill. But to do all of this and to live our daily lives without a keen awareness that he has chosen to live his life through us, no matter if we're a teacher, a doctor, a lawyer, a plumber, a carpenter, whatever we do, we must acknowledge his presence throughout the day. Now, do your job. If you're a good carpenter, you need to put that nail in the right place. You're a doctor, you better know where to cut and how to fix and how you all do your job and do it well, but also have an awareness that the person next to you in the operating room or that teacher's aide that's in your classroom is not a Christian. And so you can't forget that you're also a representative, an ambassador for Christ in this world. And not to be aware of him is to be ungodly. And we need to be careful about that sin. No matter what you're doing, whatever your hobby may be, if you like to play golf or hunt or fish or whatever it is, or go shopping and all that, yeah, do that. That's fine. But if there's a lost person that you can invite to go with you, that's even better. And you can cultivate their friendship and use friendship evangelism to share your testimony and ultimately influence them for Christ. You see, we can live our daily lives with God or without him. And it is a subtle, sometimes respectable sin. It's okay, I'm busy, God. I've got things to do. I've got to do my job. But we don't need to be that way at all. Romans 1:18 says, "For the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness or godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them." He separates godlessness and wickedness. When you think of the word ungodly, I grew up thinking it's that awful thing, you know, that's out there that somebody's doing. We even are a little bit blasphemous with the use of his name. Sometimes we have to get up really early, and we call that, I have to get up at an ungodly hour. You know, we toss that around so easily. But we need to be careful that we use it in the right kind of way. To be ungodly is simply to remove him from our daily experience. We wake up, we get dressed, we take off for the day, we're driving down the road, we've got things to do, things on our mind, this to do. If we're not careful, we will be ungodly. He will not be a part of our thinking and our attitude and our spirit. And that is a besetting sin, a so-called respectable sin, but it's not at all. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this city or that city for a year, spend a year there, carry on business to make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. You got plans in your life? What are you planning now? Plans are good. Planning is a good idea. I had to plan this sermon today. Is it okay with you that I plan what I preach? You would really rather that instead of rambling forever. Yeah, planning is good. Planning a vacation, planning for your life, planning for college or whatever it may be. Plans are good. But yet, we don't really know what tomorrow may bring. We don't know what the rest of our day will bring. And so, yes, plan. But God sometimes looks at our plans and it makes him smile like, you have no idea what you're planning. You have no idea what's going to happen to you tomorrow. We've had some people in this church to get some medical reports lately. And met with one outside a while ago. Others of you in this room, you've gotten a report from the doctor that's going to alter your life for a while, maybe for a long time. You see what I'm saying? We wake up with all of our plans in our eyes, with no thought of God or what's really going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen. And so let's walk with Him. Let's abide in His presence in a significant kind of way. Colossians 1, verses 9 and 10, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking for God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." What a wonderful prayer. What an amazing statement that Paul makes. He said, for this reason, for what God has done in you, you know, we want the best for you. We want you to walk with God daily in your life. Don't walk away from Him. Don't ignore His presence. Yeah, you're busy. You got things that you've got to do. You got to make a living. You got to do all that stuff. But you can still abide in His presence, and not to do so is to be ungodly. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart." Whatever you do, you got that? Whatever you do. If you're going to do something as a hobby or an interest, work at it with all your heart. If you're an employee, you be a good employee, Christian. You be a very good employee, because they're watching you and you're reflecting Christ. You earn that dollar. Work hard. Whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. I don't care where you're working, what you're employed doing, you're working for the Lord. You're representing Him in that place of employment. So work in such a way that you honor Him in what you do. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. You know, in everyday mundane events of life, the presence and the nearness of God is required. Hope you get that. In the mundane, regular, everyday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever, the presence of the Lord is real and powerful, and you don't have to walk away from Him. It's still possible to be used by Him in a special way. He says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do," that's a pretty all-encompassing word, "whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." All of it. Every bit of it. Whether you're at the water fountain or eating a refreshment or somewhere, drinking coffee at work, whatever it is, you can still represent the Lord there and reflect His presence in the world. John 15, verses 5 through 8 says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." I was thinking today about a weakness in my life. I pray about my grandchildren. We have 8 of them. I pray for them. I think of them often. I miss them. We wish we could see them more. You may have the same, or maybe you're young enough that you just have children, or you're anticipating having children. I want to remind you of something. And again, this is the structure of our nation. This is the structure of our country. We're driven in this country to make sure that our children have every advantage in the world. And if my neighbor's children are in ballerina classes and in t-ball, I've got to do the same thing because they have to keep up. And if they're doing piano lessons, I've got to get mine in there. I don't want my children to be left behind. I'm driven. I'm motivated to make sure that they know their ABCs when they're 2 years old. That's really young, by the way. We're driven to make sure that they excel in school and hopefully play sports of some kind or play an instrument in the band. And by the way, they need to be first chair in the trumpet section. We're driven to make sure they get a good education because we want them to get a good job and buy a house and have bills to pay and have a dog in their yard and a swing on their back porch and live life. And when they get old and when they draw their last breath, they spend eternity in hell. The greatest need of my grandchildren is to know Jesus. The greatest need is for them to be saved, born again, live a life of service in the kingdom of God, no matter what their vocation may be. And if God calls them to be a missionary to Ghana, like this doctor who worked for NASA, and they're around cholera and Ebola, and their lives are at risk, I will worry and I will pray and I will not be overjoyed that they're in a place where they're at great risk. But someday I will thank God that my children, my grandchildren, went to serve Him and pay the ultimate price for the kingdom and the glory of God. This is not a game. This is not a social experiment that we're engaged in here. If you want to be a part of a wonderful social group and isn't this fun to do church, join a civic club or something. They have more fun than we do. This is the kingdom of God, and our daily activity, our daily walk requires that we not be ungodly. There's never a time when we need to let up and relax and let our guard down and say something we shouldn't, or gossip or tell us a lie, or be lazy at our work and not do. There's never a time for that because somebody's watching you and they're looking for your example and they're wondering whether or not they should become a Christian just by watching your life. We must not be ungodly. The absence of God in our daily lives, walking away from Him. And you must remain in the vine as we serve the Lord. He gives us the life. He gives us the power to serve Him in this world. There is no place, no event where the presence of God does not matter. Your life is an open book to the world, and they desperately need to see Jesus every time they're around you. So be on the alert. Keep your antenna up for ways to minister and to care. Yes, as you're teaching school. Yes, as you're practicing medicine, as you're a carpenter, look for ways to be a blessing to people each and every day, all day long. Spend your day with Jesus, and He will bless you. I don't know if it's still legal today, but there was a time, we don't have all hunters in here, when you could hunt deer with dogs. And they would take a number of dogs, probably beagles, and they would look at 150 acres of land somewhere, and they would run those dogs through the woods. And oh, the deer would get nervous, and they would take off running, however many deer were in those woods. And the hunters would be at the other side. And those deer would run, and they would run, and they would run. And they would get very thirsty, and they'd be out of breath. They'd be panting for water and be so thirsty. That's what the psalmist said when he said, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? The psalmist didn't have the advantage that we have. That's the Old Testament, and God was seen to be far away. God was heard in the thunder and the lightning. He was heard in all kinds of ways. Today, He's in our hearts. He's with us all the time. Where can I go to hear Him? Where can I go to be with Him? The answer is everywhere. When you wake up in the morning, when you go to sleep at night, throughout your work day, in your recreation time, in your family time, whatever you do, He is with you. And He must be in you, and He is ever present with you. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. We must have a steadfast, consistent, persistent awareness that He is with us. May that be true for you and for me as well. The book that I've read, it's around, been around for a long time. It's called Practicing the Presence of Jesus. And that's really the essence of the message today. Just practice His presence. He's there. Don't ignore Him. Be aware of Him all of the time. Yes, do your job. Be focused. Don't be slack at that point. But at a break or at other times. I like to shoot. You ever just shoot arrow prayers to God? You know, you don't have to spend 2 hours with God and then leave him alone the rest. You know, during the day, you know, if you're a doctor, you're about to go in to see a patient and they have a cancer report and it's not good, and you're going to have to tell them, if I'm a Christian, I'm going to shoot an arrow prayer. Lord, help me. I need to say the right thing. I need to reflect your love to these people because there's a tragic situation here. You see, you can do that whatever you're doing. You have a student who's misbehaving. I taught school for 4 years. You probably didn't know that. And it's tough. And especially when you want to commit homicide, you know. But you have to keep homicide off the table and hopefully express a love for the children. And so you got to pray about that and ask God to help you during these difficult times. Practicing the presence of Jesus is so very important. Psalm 139 says, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. Did you know that? He knows. He knows when you sit, when you rise. He knows where you are right now. He knows what you're thinking about. And it's probably not this sermon. It may be the roast in your oven. I don't know what you're thinking about, but he does. Whatever it may be, he knows what you're going to say before you say it. He is that kind of personal God. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, Lord. We have an intimate, loving, personal God who is with us all the time. Don't ignore him. Don't behave as though he doesn't exist. That's being ungodly. Fail to spend time with him throughout your day, acknowledging his presence in every possible way. Going through your day without acknowledging the Lord is a sin. And we need to confess it, repent of it, and be more keenly aware that he is with us at all hours of the day. He wants us to conform to the image of his dear Son. And we can only do that as we recognize his nearness in our lives. There's a wonderful old hymn that we sing. In the lightning flash across the sky, his mighty power I see, and I know if he can reign on high, his light can shine on me. When the thunder shakes the mighty hills and trembles every tree, then I know a God so great and small can surely harbor me. When refreshing flowers cool the earth, showers cool the earth and sweep across the sea, then his rainbow shines within his heart. His nearness comforts me. I have seen it in the lightning. I've heard it in the thunder, and I've felt it in the rain. My Lord is near me. How often? Everybody say all the time. All the time. My Lord is near me all the time. Don't ignore him. Don't miss his presence. He will give you a greater joy and a peace as you serve the Lord. I've kept this for a very long time in my files. It's a love letter from Jesus. It's a wonderful message, and perhaps it is something that he might say to you. He says, "Dear friend, how are you? I just had to send you this letter to tell you how much I love you and care for you. I saw you yesterday as you were walking with your friends. I waited all day hoping that we could talk as well. As evening drew near, I gave you a sunset to close your day and a cool breeze to rest you, and I waited. You never came. Oh yes, it hurt me, but I still love you because I am your friend. I saw you fall asleep last night, and I longed to touch your brow, so I spilled moonlight upon your pillow and face. Again, I waited, wanting to rush down so we could talk. I have so many gifts for you. You awakened late and rushed off for your day. My tears were in the rain. Today, you look so sad, so alone. It makes my heart ache because I understand. My friends let me down and hurt me many times too, but I love you. I try to tell you this in the quiet green grass. I whisper it in the leaves and trees. I breathe it in the colors of the flowers. I shout it to you in the mountain streams. I give the birds love songs to sing. I clothe you with warm sunshine and perfume the air. My love for you is deeper than oceans and bigger than the biggest want or need you will ever have. We will spend eternity together in heaven. I know how hard it is on this earth. I really know, because I was there, and I want to help you. My Father wants to help you too. He's that way, you know. Just call me. Just ask me. Just talk to me. It's your decision. I have chosen you. And because of this, I will wait, because I love you. Your friend, Jesus. Max Lucado probably said it best. If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If God had a wallet, your photo would be in it. And that Christmas gift he gave you at Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, face it, my friends, he's crazy about you. Oh, he's crazy about you, beloved. He loves you. He longs for your presence. He longs for you to acknowledge his presence. He inhabits the praises and the worship of his people. The next time you're tempted to rush off into your day and not spend time with him, not communing with him, it's as if to say, I don't need you, God. I don't need you now. I got this covered. I can do this. I can handle this. He longs to bless you throughout the day. So don't be ungodly Christians. Be godly and abide in him. Walk with him, love him, and tell him you love him all throughout the day. It'll make a difference in your life and in your usefulness in his kingdom. Father, I thank you for your presence today. I thank you for this reminder in your word that we don't have to be wicked or perverted or sin in dark kinds of ways to be ungodly. Help us to be godly. Help us to love you supremely and to acknowledge your love throughout the day. May we make a fresh commitment to abide with you, to abide in the vine that provides the nourishment and the strength and the daily help that we need. We know, Father, that our friends are watching, our co-workers are watching, our students, fellow laborers around us, our neighbors are watching. May we practice the presence of Jesus in our speech, in our attitudes, and in all that we do. In the name of Jesus. Just keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed for just a moment. As the piano plays softly, I'd like for you to say something to the Father. Just say something to the Father about your walk with him. Make a fresh commitment to live daily, day by day, moment by moment, in his presence, that others may see Jesus in you. If you need Jesus as your Savior, you've never been born again, today is your day. Open your heart to him. He is real. He is mighty. He is redeeming. He is powerful. He is loving. He is a precious Savior. Give your life to him now and walk with him. Be baptized, join this church, follow him, learn, grow, develop into a servant of Christ. Let's stand together and sing with our praise team.
Just want to remind you about a couple things. First of all, again, the commitment card that you can find, the exits and entrance, pink in color. We're going to take those up on the 25th of November, last Sunday, as a kind of an in-gathering. So be praying over that, how much that you want to give to support our One World, One Missions program this year. Also incredibly important that you can find in the entrance and exits are the deacon nomination sheets, and these are actually due today, and I hope that you've been praying over these. As you submit your deacons for nominations, please secure their permission to do so before you submit it, but we need those submitted as soon as possible. You need to be praying about it, and then ask that person, and then get those turned in, as we've got our rotation of deacons is coming up very soon, and we've got to rotate our new deacons that have been nominated onto the deacon active deacon board, we can call it. Next thing is Operation Christmas Child. You see some boxes up front here. Collection starts tomorrow. So after this service, if you're interested in helping to be part of the collection center, or if you're somebody that has a trailer that you can pull a trailer with a bunch of boxes in it when it comes time to send them to Alexandria, you're going to have a very brief meeting in the Welcome Center after this service if you can help in some kind of way with that. And as a family, you guys can decide, hey, we're going to pack a couple boxes as a family and pray over those. As a Bible study or Sunday school group, you can do that. I know the youth group's going to be doing that this Wednesday, but it's important that we support this ministry. And then next Sunday, what the youth are going to do is they're going to be loading up the trailers. We're going to eat some pizza, and they're going to load up the trailers, and then we're going to get them on a bus and go to YEC Youth Evangelism Celebration. And so if you have a student who hasn't signed up yet, it's not too late because I still have slots available. So just make sure they come and let me know that they're definitely coming. I got too many kids looking me in the eyeball and say, I don't know if I'm coming. Well, I kind of need to know because I got to set up the hotel rooms and everything else. So we want to make sure that they have an opportunity to come, but they got to let me know for sure that they're coming. And so that's going to be next Sunday and all day Monday. And this is an opportunity to invite friends to those that don't normally come to church and introduce them to Jesus Christ in an exciting atmosphere. So we don't want them to miss out on that. Don't forget about the Young at Heart trip coming up. We got to get signed up for that if you're interested in going up for the Natchitoches Young at Heart trip. And then don't forget about the stuff that's on the front of your bulletin. We got the brunch locked in for March for the ladies, and we continue to seek your information so we can make sure we have an updated directory. That's what I was looking for, directory. So we have an updated directory of all the people at this church, all right? So much going on, so much to talk about. There's more in the bulletin I can't even get to. So please read all the announcements. Go to our webpage whenever you can and look on there. There's a Facebook page as well that's constantly being updated with information. Use those sources and then share the word. Hey, let's pray, and then we're going to sing together. God, we just thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you've made your presence known to us. And God, let us seek you each day. Let us find ways to honor you at our workplace, in our homes, in our schools, in all of our activities. Find a way that we might honor you and bring you praise. God, give us opportunities to share our faith with others and give us a boldness that we need to do so. God, we love you and we want to honor you with all of our hearts. And we thank you today especially for those who follow your example and are willing to sacrifice for others. We thank you for veterans. And today we ask that they be honored. But more than that, we honor you and that you showed the way.